Good evening, one and all. Yes, back with another guest and a repeat guest. This is what I like, where you get people, you have them with their first book, second, in this case, third book from this gentleman coming on the show. And always thrilled talking to him because I always learn stuff, which is what you do. No matter how old you are, you're always learning. You never stop learning. Well, my guest, he served in the army, and his background perhaps in Washington and the Foreign Service and United Nations and stuff like that was good grounding for his books, award-winning books, I might as well say by now. He was also part of the Eastern Bloc's book, Who's Who in the CIA. Seriously, that book. And it had him down as a spy, even though he wasn't. But he's telling me he wasn't. But he's back with his third book. Now, back in, I think it was 2020, I seem to remember, he introduced us to Marco Zorn. Well, Marco's back with a fresh book. And this time, he's not got one person against him. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. I better introduce him, haven't I? Because on the show today, I have the one and only Otho Eskin. Hi, Otho. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. And how are you doing?
I am doing good. Yes, sir. As you say, you weren't a spy, but it did have you down in that book. You know, you were than the number in the Eastern Bloc's little red book.
That's right. Well, it was disinformation by the Russian KGB and their friends. So there's not much I could do about it. But
at least you can say you've been in Who's Who. Never mind, you don't have to say the last bit.
Not quite the Who's Who I had planned for, but...
Right. As I said, I mean, you did you're part of the Foreign Service in Washington. You went to all sorts of countries, including Berlin and United Nations. And you testified before Congress and all this sort of stuff. Little did you know at the time that what grounding that was for your thriller books when you got to them.
Not at all. I had no idea. I wasn't planning on that back in the day. It came later on when I started to write, and I could draw on my experiences in the Foreign Service and living here in Washington. So yes, it came as a complete surprise.
Well, yeah, I mean, people said, why is it set in Washington? Where else would you set an intrigue and a thriller, especially when with the experience you've got? I mean, it's a place unto itself sometimes, it seems.
Well, you could put it in London, I guess, but...
But it's not quite the same. I mean, it's, we haven't quite got the same. Well, I don't know. There are places. There are places. Whitehall and stuff like that. But yeah. And as I said, back in 2020, you launched us with your hero, Marco Zorn, who's a detective in Washington, as you say, with The Reflecting Pool. That you got really good reception for that, and Amazon's Best Mystery Pick and stuff like that. All sorts of awards you won.
Yes, well, I'm very pleased. Yes, well, people seem to like Marco Zorn. I mean, he's not your traditional detective, but he's intriguing. And most people find him interesting to follow.
And I think that's it. I think it's not your normal what people think. He's a very sort of, as you say, intriguing character that came to us again in book two with Headshot.
That's right.
Now you're bringing him back with a third book.
That's right.
This one, obviously, again, set in that sort of world. But it's it brings us into the dark world of drugs and stuff like that in
Firetrap. Big pharma and illegal, improper drugs. I got really upset when I was reading two, 3 years ago about OxyContin. And about the people who were behind it and were billionaires and didn't care what harm they were doing or didn't seem to care. And so I thought I'd fold that into a novel, make them the bad guys, which wasn't hard to do.
it's very true. And it surprises me. I've been doing some end of last year doing some work on some sort of English stuff. And the differences between the food, I mean, I've always said about the price of food in America is a lot more expensive in the UK. I mean, I went back a couple of months ago, and I just wandered around Tesco's, and I just wanted to bring 10 suitcases worth of stuff back with me.
I didn't realize that. I didn't know that.
Well, it's very, very, very much cheaper, and the vegetables, and it's very different. And the reason it's different, for instance, I'll give you an example. Heinz tomato ketchup.
Yeah.
Does not really have any tomatoes in it. It's all chemicals. Heinz have now bought a version out in America, which is the equivalent of the normal version in UK and Europe, you know, which is tomatoes. It's like Kellogg's apple crisp or something, Kellogg's strawberry breakfast cereal, right?
Okay.
Doesn't have strawberries in it. It has flavored bits of apple, but they call it strawberry.
I'm sure they do. Well, yeah. There's no control over that kind of thing.
And I think. Well, this is it. You see, we have this citizens' rights, which John Major brought in England. You know, where if something's described as something, it has to be something. You can get done. If not, and of course, over here, it's not. People can call whatever it is. But it's interesting to note that the prices of this sort of stuff is higher in many ways because of the amount of chemicals, and thus the people who are making the money, even on food, are the pharmaceutical companies.
Yes, well, that's right. You're quite right. And every day you read in the paper some new scandal. I mean, I just read every day. And all kinds of apple products full of lead.
Yeah,
which is very, very dangerous for kids. I don't know how they get away with it.
I say that every day. I get up and I look at the news. How is this person getting away with that? How are they getting away? Don't ask. It's beyond me. My little brain can't take it. This, obviously, the drugs through Washington and that. But poor old Marco hasn't just got one person against him this time, has he?
Yeah, that's right. He's got dealings with twin brothers, and they're really bad actors. They're kind of elderly, so they're not physically supermen or anything like that, but they are really vicious customers, and they run this big pharma corporation, which not only sells dubious products, and in this case a new drug which is highly addictive, and can cause death. It was based, roughly speaking, on drugs that have been out on the market for the last few years. They're billionaires. They don't need any money, but they just do it because they can get away with it, and they're just vindictive people. Not the kind of people you want to have for friends. You probably don't want even for enemies. So Marco Zorn, who is a homicide detective in Washington, D.C., finds out about these drugs that are being circulated, and undertakes to try to stop the sale of these drugs, and then ultimately tracks the sale to the owners of the big pharma, which are these twin brothers who are absolutely ruthless. They'll do anything to protect themselves and their company. They actually arrange for the murder of a whistleblower from their own company. And there's a scientist in the Food and Drug Administration, a woman who's been trying to track down and stop the approval of a new drug from this big pharma company. And they kill her. So these guys are ruthless. They'll stop at nothing. And Marco Zorn, the detective, is now in their target, and he's in real danger. He's a very unusual detective. He does not play by the rules, or rather, he plays by his own rules.
Right.
He does not carry a gun. He does not like to use guns for complicated reasons, but he's very skillful in hand-to-hand combat, which, and he can use other devices as weapons if he has to. But he is in constant danger. They even stick a highly venomous snake, send it to his home.
And I understand his superiors didn't seem to want to help him either, or they didn't listen to him. He sort of was let down a bit by his higher-ups.
That's right. Yes. Well, he's insubordinate. He's a troublemaker. He does not like higher authority. He gets along fine with people at his level, but he's insubordinate and makes up his own rules. And he engages in some activities which are not entirely legal because he needs to make money on the side. He has a very expensive taste. He likes to drive sports cars, classic. Antique sports cars. He wears expensive tailor-made suits. He goes to expensive restaurants, none of which could he afford on the salary of a police officer in Washington, D.C.
Right.
So he makes the money by side hustles.
So he's got his own little to keep him going sort of thing. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's right, yes. Now, he doesn't commit major crimes, nothing like that. And he's got a very strong moral compass, but on small stuff, he doesn't mind breaking into somebody's office if it's part of his job, or using devices to bring down the bad people. And in doing so, he may just skim off a few $1 million here or there. He does that in each one of the
expenses.
So he gets along, but it's kind of marginal. And his bosses, they tolerate it because he's just a good detective. And he closes a lot of cases, and he arrests and captures bad people. So they know that, but they don't really like the way he does it. But they tolerate him because they don't have any choice. He's the best they've got.
Right. Listen, I listen to a lot of the old like 40s, 50s detective and comedy shows on Sirius, radio, the old radio shows. And there's one I like.
I remember radio.
Yeah. There's one I like called Johnny Dollar. It's always yours, Johnny.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And he always goes through expenses for such and such. He has an expense sheet for the day, for a taxi, for an airline, for this, for the restaurant, that sort of thing. And I thought, well, that's great. That's him doing it, doing his paperwork.
Right. Yeah, of course.
Obviously up against these two twins, and I can't get the Cray twins out of my head at the moment. But no, they're not, nothing like that. But the twins. And there's bodies piling up all over the place, isn't there?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's up at nothing. They have a contract with a security service, an international security service, which many of which exist. And they use that as their strong arm to get rid of people or intimidate people who get in their way. And they don't hesitate at all. And if it requires killing some people, well, so much the worse for them. At one point, they have to kidnap the daughter of the police chief in order to blackmail her into stopping the police investigation into these twins' activities. And Marco Zorn has to go save this girl, and which means he has to go to an oil rig out in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, God.
A very dangerous place to be.
Right,
it almost blows up under him. And I don't want to give away what he's
doing. No, don't give it away.
I don't want to spoil anything.
Right, no, don't you dare. No, but I mean, it's amazing. Because one of the things he comes across, I think I read somewhere, there's a painting from an art theft.
That's right.
Sort of like they almost seem to have forgotten about, right?
That's right. The Gardner Art Museum, the art theft, one of the biggest art thefts
in history.
Yep. It's a real art theft, and the art has never been recovered, and nobody knows who was ultimately responsible for it. So I weave that real incident which was about 25 years ago, into this story. I had Marco Zorn discover who the theft, who arranged the theft, and figure out how to get the art back again. Yes, I draw on a real incident, robbery, theft incident into the story, and it's a key to how Marco is going to challenge this big pharma corporation.
It sounds really intriguing. I mean, I'm sort of sitting here going, yeah, what about that? What about, and then, you know, you hear, oh, this comes into it and this comes into it. Sounds really totally intriguing, obviously, with the twins as well and pharmaceuticals. It's, there's a, yeah, and as you said, it's unfortunately, it's rife this day and age.
Yes, I'm afraid so. I'm sure that there are good people running legitimate pharmaceutical companies making legitimate and valuable drugs, but there's a lot of stuff goes on which it didn't used to, but gouging, price manipulation, holding drugs back on them from the market, these are all perfectly legal but absolutely unethical as far as I'm concerned, and
totally agree. Have you found that Marco's changed at all, or filled out since the earlier books?
I don't think so. At least in my own mind, he's the same character. He has the same flaws and the same virtues and pluses that he has always had. As you go through the series from The Reflecting Fool through Headshot and now Fire Trap, you learn more about him. You know more about why he doesn't use a gun. This isn't just some eccentric, well, he is eccentric, that's for sure, but that's not why he doesn't use a gun. It has to do with an incident when he was a teenager, and he is very reluctant to find himself in a situation where he has to use violence. His idea is always try to talk the opponent out. Talk him down. Use words. And if you can't use words, use some other device, but don't use anything that's fatal, or if you can at all avoid it. And by and large, he is able to do that, but it's kind of touch and go sometimes, and it doesn't always work just the way
right,
you want
right.
to.
Indeed. Fire Trap is your third book. You got a fourth one on the go?
Well, good. Funny you should ask. Yes, I got one well underway, and it's Marco Zorn this time faces his most daunting opponent, which is a neo-Nazi organization which wants to assassinate the president of the United States. So you can see Marco Zorn's got his hands full this time.
Right.
He meets a lot of really bad people.
Right. Obviously, as you know, as I said, you live in and working in Washington and everything, you know, it is the prime area for this sort of book.
It's not all crime. I mean, there's good people here.
Sorry, political crimes.
None of my friends who live here are criminals.
Not that you know. Do you find that, you know, the friends and people who've read the book, can they relate to your view of Washington at all?
Well, nobody's ever addressed that to me specifically. But yes, I think the way I look at Washington, it's two cities. It's the city the tourists go to, the city you see in the news, the neoclassic buildings, the Lincoln Memorial, the Jefferson Memorial, the Capitol, Supreme Court, all these beautiful buildings, all in marble and in limestone. And there's another part of the city, part that is inhabited by criminals, drug-infested, and murder in the street. And Marco Zorn is part of both. He describes in my new book, the one that hasn't been published yet, that Washington is a whited sepulcher, meaning it's on the outside, it's what beautiful marble, clean, pristine, and on the inside, full of corruption. And Marco Zorn is part of both worlds. It's not that he's one or the other. It's both. And that's part of his character. And he's comfortable in both. But that's depending on how you look at Washington, you can identify with one or the other of those two aspects of the city or not. But I think most people can understand, even if they don't live here, and they just read about it in the paper or see it on the news.
I think all large cities and capital cities, you know, have that sort of dark side to them. I mean, it just comes with the fact of, you know, it is a big place, and there's money to be had.
So that's right.
Whichever way you do it, sort of.
Yeah, I'm afraid, and I don't want to be cast aspersions, but let's face it, politics is kind of corrupt. At least in this country. I don't mean to say anything about the UK or France but in this country, there are a lot of kind of dodgy people running things. And I like to look at that aspect of Washington.
Indeed. Yes, I get asked all the time by family and friends and that from Europe. And how's this allowed to go away? How's this allowed to go on? How are these people allowed to say this? How are these people? I said, don't ask me. I don't know. But it is. I'm afraid that the view of America these days for the rest of the world. Do you know, somebody said to me, well, for a start, people in Europe no longer call it USA because they say the states haven't been united for a while. And the thing that I had the other day, somebody was saying about, you know, there's all this fear that's going to be a civil war in America. And
well, I sure hope not, but
I know, but you know, you can see it. You can see it's getting that bad. You know, the North against the South, but for a totally different reason, sort of thing. But it's about, you know, people's view in America of what the world sees America as to what the world actually does see America as is totally different, I'm afraid, these days.
I'm afraid you're right. I'm sure you're right. You know, I experienced that when I was in the Foreign Service. You know, I was living abroad, and people would ask about what's going on in America, and they had their views, understandably, were quite different than their typical American.
Yep, indeed. What sort of, I mean, obviously, you know, third book, fourth book on the way and stuff like that. Have you had any sort of people sort of questioning about, you know, because to me, they make great films, you know, perhaps a TV movie, not even a, you know, not a cinema one. Have you had any follow-ups on that at all?
Not so far, but I keep answering the phone waiting for Hollywood or Netflix. Netflix,
there you go.
Need my number.
There you go. Netflix. We got a whole series of books here. We could have you next couple
That's
of
right.
years. We got you covered for you.
That's right. Yeah, people frequently ask me which actor would I prefer to see play the role of Marco Zorn. I don't have a ready answer to that.
Right.
But in any case, I'm sure they've come up with somebody great.
I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will. Our time is going, so what I'm going to do now, anyway, also is hand the show over to you,
okay?
So you can tell everybody where they can find more about you, and of course your books.
Okay, absolutely. Should I start now?
You start. Away you go.
Okay. Well, again, my name's Otho Eskin. I have a website. It's at Otho Eskin or Otho at othoeskin.com. It gives you a lot about my life experiences in the Foreign Service. I'm also a lawyer, although that's not directly relevant. After a career in the Foreign Service, I started writing plays. I've had a number of plays produced in Washington. And I'm going to have a play produced in London in April.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Very nice indeed. Small theater, not on Shrewsbury Avenue, I'm afraid.
Right.
But
yeah,
I'm not complaining, you understand. Happy to see
it. It's a start. There you go.
In any case, as you heard, I've written three novels, and a fourth one is in the works now. The novels can all be gotten on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or at your local favorite bookstore. By all means, go in and chat with the owner and the nice lady behind the the desk and get it and put in an order. What else would you? I think. Well, basically, everything is available online. You can also get an audible version and any format that normal books are published in.
That is great. Well, Otho, thank you so much for being here. It's always great to have you back on the show.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Indeed. And let's hope when the next one comes out, you'll come back and chat to us again.
I'll plan on it. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Well, there you go. My guest today, Otho Eskin. O-T-H-O. O-T-H-O. And Eskin is A-S-K-I-N. So O-T-H-O-E-S-K-I-N. Put those together, adder.com. And that's his website. All sorts of stuff about news, about his books, bio. Very, very interesting. Very interesting gentleman. All sorts of stuff. You know, he did the United Nations and... say, you read it. It's really, really interesting. And say, play. It's interesting to know about a play. I forgot about to ask about the play. So, in fact, he's going to do one in London. Great stuff. And, of course, his new book, which brings us back to Marco Zorn again, called Fire Trap. Really, really good. Highly recommended. Even our old friend Steve Berry, he's done some of the reviews on it and that sort of stuff. And Steve thinks it's great as well. So Steve thinks it's great and we think it's great. It must be great. So that's indeed Otho Eskin. Well, that's it for today. I'll be back with a fresh guest tomorrow. But until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget...